going to just share three brief stories and close with a prayer. I once heard a preacher tell a story about a hitchhiker who was loaded down with a backpack on the side of the road and thumb out, and a pickup truck swung over and offered him a ride, and there were people in the cab of the truck, but there was room in the back. And so he climbed in the back of the truck, and as the driver was heading down the road, he was looking in the rearview mirror and noticed that the guy in the bed of the truck still had the backpack on. He was like squatted down, straining under the load, kind of holding on to the side of the bed of the truck. So they got to a gas station, and the driver got out, and the guy's still back there, straining under this load in the bed of the truck. And he goes, I'm just curious, why don't you just take the backpack down and lay it in the truck? And the guy said, well, I'm just trying to do my part. Which really isn't a joke, is it? And as we've done this conference about relief, there's still a lot of us that still want to hold on to our backpacks. We still want to do our part. So along those lines, I'm going to share a second story. Whether that first one is true or not, or whether it was just a made-up preacher story, I don't know. This is an actual true story from my life. And friends of mine in Charlottesville have maybe heard it, but this actually happened to me. So about 12, 13 years ago, I was a vicar at a little church plant. It was trying to resurrect a church plant that had imploded. And I came in to try to save the day, and I wasn't saving anything. And I'd been there for a few years, and the dean of our region called me. It was on a Tuesday morning in early December, a very bleak day. He calls me about 10 in the morning. Dave, I was like, good morning, Chuck. What are you doing for lunch today? And to be honest, I had no lunch plans, and it was one of those days where I didn't really want to have any lunch plans with anybody. But I said, well, nothing. He goes, excellent. Meet me at Ruby Tuesdays at noon. It's like, all right. He said, they have a great salad bar. And I'm thinking, well, I don't like salad, but that's cool. Ruby Tuesdays is great. So I met him at Ruby Tuesdays at noon. And the whole lunch, he's asking me about, like, how you doing, Dave? And so I lied. I'm doing great. How's the church going? We're doing all right. And he saw right through it. And I knew he saw right through it. And I knew that he knew that I knew that, you know. But he didn't say anything. He just asked me about my family, about my life. Never talked about himself. Of course, he paid for the bill. And then he said this, what are you doing for the next 45 minutes or so? And I said, well, and he goes, I need you to help me with something. I was like, well, of course. And I'm thinking, okay, you buy me lunch, now you need something from me. All right, that's fine. I knew there was a catch. And he goes, meet me at Sam's Club. And so I was like, all right. So I met him at Sam's Club. We walk in, and he says, could you grab a cart for me? And I was like, sure. And I grabbed the cart, and he goes, I need you to do me a favor. And I said, well, sure, Chuck. He goes, please let me buy you and your family some food for the holidays. I was like, okay. He goes, please let me do that. I would have a lot of fun doing that. I was like, okay. So it's so awkward because we both got our collars on. We're walking around Sam's Club. I've got a cart. So it was just so weird. It was so weird. So we go to the back, and we're just standing there. I didn't know where to start. And he goes, do you like chicken? I was like, yeah, chicken's great. So I grabbed some chicken and put it in the cart. And, you know, I was trying to be a good steward, so I was just getting healthy food. And then he goes, well, do you all like, I don't know, lettuce? And I lied, yeah, I love lettuce. So grab some lettuce. And then he walked over to the steaks, and he goes, y'all like steaks? I was like, well, sure, and I'm looking for the cheap steaks. And he grabs a stack of filet mignon, a stack, puts it in the cart. I'm like, I'm starting to get a little messed up at this point. So pretty soon we filled the cart up, and it was all healthy. I was being a great steward. It was all good, healthy, nutritious food for me and my family. He goes, okay, give me a second. I'll be right back. So he leaves, comes back a minute later with a second cart. And he goes, y'all like snacks, right? I was like, yeah, we love snacks. It's the chips and all this stuff. He goes, y'all like ice cream, right? I was like, yeah, ice cream. And then he goes, you like beer? Oh, yeah. So we're like wedging cases of beer underneath the main part of the cart. And pretty soon, I have two heaping carts, not just with good steward food, but with like yummy food and beer and snacks and overflowing. We go up front to pay. And I said, can I at least pay for part of this? And he goes, well, no, I've got it covered. And I said, please. And he goes, no. You know why I was doing that, of course, was I wanted to do my part. So he pays for all of it. We go out into the parking lot. He helps me unload it all to the back of my truck. And Sam's Club, there's no bags, so it's just my truck's just filled with food and stuff. It was amazing. Beer and just lettuce on top. It was all there. And then this is what he did. I'm not making this up. He gave me a huge hug, and he smiled, and he said, Dave, you're doing a great job. And he said, thank you so much for letting me do this for you. You just made my day. And he got into his Volvo, because all the well-to-do Episcopal clergy in Virginia drove a Volvo. And he got into it, and he drove away. And I remember sitting in my truck. I wasn't like weeping, but I was messed up. Who does that? Chuck took the initiative. He called me. He took me to lunch. He paid for lunch. He asked me to do him a favor. He buys me all this stuff, loads it in my truck, and then thanks me for letting him do it. And two things occurred to me in that moment. One, maybe this is what the gospel actually looks like. And then the second was this Holy Spirit sort of in my heart, this kind of reassurance that, you know, it is going to be okay. It really is. And I'll never forget that. I think I learned more about the gospel in that 2 hours than I did in 3 years of seminary. Because we don't have to do our part. There's no good news in doing your part, is there? Now, perhaps, in spite of all that Jesus has already done for you, some of you are still just trying to do your part. Expectations have a way of doing that. But when it comes to atoning for your sin, you cannot and you need not do a thing. Jesus already took care of it on the cross. His blood is enough. There's no part for you to do. It is finished, Jesus said. The atonement for the sins of the world. As it says in Article 31 in the 39 articles in the back of the prayer book, the offering of Christ once made is that perfect, meaning complete, redemption, propitiation, and satisfaction for all the sins of the whole world, both original and actual, and there is none other satisfaction for sin but that alone. That's good news, isn't it? I'm going to close with one last story and then a prayer. When I was in elementary school back in the, a while ago, late 70s, there it is, do the math. Remember, they actually did film strips. Some of you might remember film strips. And the teacher's pet always got to run the film strip projector, so I never got to do that. But they would show a little picture on the wall and beep, and then you would roll the thing, and then the next picture would show up on the wall. It was very high tech. And one of the film strips that we watched was a version of the 1964 children's picture book, The Giving Tree, by Cheryl Silverstein, which some people have dismissed as just a picture of codependency. That's kind of dark. It's actually amazing. I remember even as a kid in the second, third, fourth grade, because every year, you know, it was Giving Tree Day sometime in the year, and the film strip would come out. But I remember like really thinking about it as I was watching this. And for me, at least now in my 40s, it's a reminder of the constancy of God's grace, the constancy of God giving us relief in the midst of all the seasons in our life, which the expectations never go away. They might shift, but the expectations just keep coming. And it's a reminder of the constancy of God's giving us relief in the midst of that. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples, and they would play hide and seek, and when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy. But time went by. The boy grew older, and the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk, swing in my branches, eat apples, play in my shade, be happy. I'm too big to climb and play, said the boy. I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. I'm sorry, said the tree, but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy. So the boy climbed up the tree, gathered her apples, carried them away, and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy. She said, come, boy, climb up my trunk, swing from my branches, be happy. I'm too busy to climb trees, said the boy. I want a house to keep me warm. I want a wife and I want kids, so I need a house. Can you give me a house? I have no house, said the tree. The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy. So the boy cut off her branches, carried them away, built the house, and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. Come, boy, she whispered. Come and play. I'm too old and sad to play, said the boy. I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat? Cut down my trunk, make a boat, said the tree, then you can sail away and be happy. So the boy cut down her trunk, made a boat, sailed away, and the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. I'm sorry, boy, said the tree, but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples, said the boy. My branches are gone, said the tree. You cannot swing on them. I'm too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I'm too tired to climb, said the boy. I'm sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy, just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy did, and the tree was happy. Now, hopefully at this conference, relief, boldness of grace, and a world of expectation, hopefully you've learned that you can put your backpack down. It is okay. You don't have to do your part. You can rest under the shadow of the ultimate giving tree, which is, of course, the cross. But, as you probably will, and as I certainly will, we'll pick up our backpacks again, might be this afternoon or next week, we'll start trying to do our part again. The expectations will continue to come. We will need more relief. And the good news is that when we need the relief, the giving tree will still be there. We can still rest on the stump. And that's just good news. It was a joy to be with you all at this conference. Thank you again, Dave. It's such a privilege to be with you from my heart, brother. I'll close with a colleague from the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretch out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen.